Hey there, listeners. This is AJ, and just a quick message. Do you know what would mean the world to us? If you haven't already subscribed, why not consider hitting that subscribe button and never miss another episode again? And you know what? We're always asking for reviews, and I'm starting to have a change of heart, you know. How about this? If you wanted to give us the biggest gift in the world, we don't need your money, but what we would love is your recommendation. Is that something you could do for us? All of us have got a nerd friend in our lives, and why not recommend this podcast to them? If you've had any kind of fun with this podcast, if you enjoy listening along with the fantasy fuck nuggetry every single week, then why not recommend this podcast to a friend? It really would mean the world to us. Thanks very much. On with the show. Hanash was cancelled. He didn't die. Chris, if you want to open up with a little apology for Hanash dying, you know, you go right at it.
It feels a little bit personal. Feels a little bit accusatory. No, I'll kick us off with something. I don't know. It might be just dog shit.
That's fine.
All right. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Then let's begin.
No! The delay on that was fantastic because I did it. I took a deep breath. I was about to start my intro and then AJ just burst out laughing really loud. That's two intros I've tried. Yeah, I'm just going to launch into it.
I'm dead. Discuss.
Spoilers, I'm dead.
Chris Rock just being like, guys, this is my character's funeral. Please show some respect. All right, fuck it, let's do it. Hello there, nerds and ne'er-do-wells, and welcome to a very special episode of the Adventurers Anonymous podcast. Now, if you are all caught up with the episodes of our main campaign, you will know that tragedy has befallen the party. We have indeed suffered the very first character death of the podcast with the death of Hanash Smith. I mean, first of all, let's just get a little round of introductions. Let's find out who's here. I am your host for the evening. I am Chris Neal, a.k.a. Tatty Bojangles, a.k.a. the killer from Manila. You've heard his laugh, you've heard him snort, and soon you're going to hear him push air and words out of his face.
Oh yeah,
it's Mr. AJ Action Jackson.
Hello. It is lovely to be here, especially just getting to be a punter. An absolute honour and a pleasure. And can I just say, Hanash, you were not the first one to die. We didn't have a special chat show episode for Marvin, the goat, when Tatty killed him.
I mean, he wasn't really a player character. That feels a little different. He was a player, but not in the same way that we are players playing a game. He was a player and a character in different ways.
And I feel like if you include Marvin, there's been a lot more deaths before Marvin.
Yeah, it's true.
If we include Marvin, then we've got to include a lot of people.
Fucking hell, we need a JPEG one-shot eulogy.
Yeah.
He's not dead.
He's not dead, he's just in a mountain. He's fine.
Off screen. He can totally come back if we need him.
He's Liam Neeson in The Grey.
If they have cubs, we're dead already.
You've heard his voice. You've heard his laugh. You're about to hear his voice even more. It's Christopher PJ Rag. I don't know where the PJ came from. Bah!
Bah! Hello. Thank you all for coming to celebrate me. Mixed feelings as I was betrayed by many of you. but I'm glad that there seems to be some remorse. So I look forward to hearing it. You bastards.
When you say betrayed by many of you, you're not talking about the listeners. Because I think that's unfair on them.
Look, they know who they are. They know what they did.
Remember, we had that call in that phone, Paul. Press one to kill Hanash. Press two to save him.
listeners paid much more attention, he wouldn't have to lash out and do crazy antics like
true
killer wedding.
Yeah.
Shame on you, listeners.
Just kill a wedding.
True.
And here to bring us a little bit of just a little dash of culture into this podcast of four white men talking shit into microphones. It is Matthew Jacob Durant, all the way from Finland.
I come not to praise Hanash, but to bury him.
You're a wrong'un. Ah, dear God.
Sounds mildly threatening. Which I think, really, is the best way to kick us off for a way to eulogize Hanash.
For a section I like to call threats.
Yeah. The section that Hanash would call foreplay.
You.
I guess as a first point of order, from me at the very least, I'd like to give Chris Rag a round of applause for his portrayal of Hanash.
Thank you.
Has been masterful. He, you know, took on the character of Hanash as Hanash would. He grabbed it by the horns and he rode it around like a toy ball. Really, like, you can't ask for much more from a D&D character. I guess just to kind of kick things over to you, Raggy, what was the episode like for you?
You know, maybe one of my favorite episodes. I really enjoyed it. I kind of thought it might happen anyway from the antics in the last one. And especially when I just started like bashing people's heads in, because like as a team, we've been very much, not very like only against the people. Like, we might accidentally kill someone, but you know, if push comes through, we usually stand up for the little guy. And when I was just quick nuts, he'd been looking for the MSL for far too long. He had a massive breakdown and he just needed some more chaos. And obviously, he fed from chaos. He wanted the boons, not as much as Boon Boy Tai. I really, really liked it. I loved how it went down. I love Belsiak coming at me. I love Tati switching sides and being a traitorous fuck. And then I love that characters were in peril as well, like while we were doing it and we didn't know it until later. So yeah, I honestly, like, one of my favorite episodes, I think. I don't know what you guys
know about it. Thank you.
Big round of applause for DM AJ.
Woo, DM AJ!
I guess, yeah, like, what was it like for you, AJ, as both a person who is friends with the other players, but also as a DM, just, like, mechanically? How did that feel?
It felt really, really difficult, because as a DM, the characters and the players, I know they're your characters, but they live rent-free in my head all week long. I'm always editing the podcast. I'm always writing ideas for them, et cetera, et cetera. And to have one of those characters snuffed out it was a big weight on me. And it's always a possibility that one of you might die in combat. I tried to make the combat challenging enough so that it's not super boring for you, but not so difficult that one of you dies. And like Tati, you could very easily have died in that fight with the dragon. But I think you kind of all knew that going into the fight. You were all prepared. Whereas I wasn't really prepared for what was going to happen to Hanash. Once you'd started poisoning everyone in the village hall in Baden Knox, after that episode, I don't know if it's okay to say this, Matt was messaging me as a DM and he's like, I don't know what Belsiar would do here. Like, you know, and I was like, okay, this hits different. Like, people, this is a moment in the storyline and I've got to give it gravity. And if it goes down that avenue, I've just got to let it go down that avenue. So when it started going down that avenue, I had to sit back. But it was such a privilege as a DM to be able to sit back and be like, oh, I think it's going to go this way. And then I wasn't sure it was going to go that way. And I think if I got this right, I think Belsiar, you very, very nearly died at one point. And there was a moment where you could have been finished. And I was like, fuck. There was a point halfway through where I was like, I don't know which way this is going to go. I'm pretty sure one of you is going to die, or maybe two of you. And I was also acutely aware in the storyline what was going on outside the village hall, but it was tense, and probably the most tension I've had as a DM, because I take your characters, you know, with great respect, because they're yours and you've created them, and I don't want to just kill them for entertainment purposes. So, yeah, it was... certainly, I felt the weight of it. When we finished recording, I cut the mic, and I just sat there for a while, just like... like with a greasy, horrible, sick feeling, like I'd just done something filthy or irreversible. I was like, fuck. But also really proud, because the role-playing in that episode was shit hot. And also, if I was listening to it for the first time, I wouldn't know which way that was going to go. Mr. Rag, how did it feel to you? Because obviously I was the DM and I was merely going where the dice were rolling. The killing blow, technically, not the one that ended your life completely, but the one that took you down unconscious, came from Paquito, who ran in and stabbed you, I think, in the side of the head or the throat with a fork. Were you like, did that feel earned or not earned, or like a cheap way out, or how did that feel to you?
No, I thought it was awesome. It was almost like a Hail Mary, where like... Belsey was like, I need, and like, it was because it was in like the role. Belsey was like, I need a miracle or I'm going to die. And he rolled and he got the miracle because he rolled so high. And it wasn't like, oh, Picado. And like, no matter what he rolled, it'd have killed me. That would have felt cheap, I think. But because he earned it through the roll, I was like, okay, yeah, no, this is a hilarious way for an arch to go.
You couldn't have written that. Like, never would have even considered that would be, it was just so perfect. It really was life or death, and then one dice roll and a potato kills so much.
I didn't really think of it necessarily as a potato killing me. I felt like it was like a potato like selling Belsiar. I was like, Belsiar's, you know, he's had this thing, he's made it, it's been there for ages, and he's managed to save himself with this like miracle. But rather than like thinking that, I was like, would have felt about it because he was dead. Who gives a fuck about her much anymore? But yeah, no, I really liked it. I thought it was awesome. If Belsey had full health and then it happened, I'd have been pissed. But but because it was like that close, it was cool.
No, that's good. Yeah, I'd basically, I set the pieces in motion and then I just sat back on that episode and I was just watching you beat the crap out of each other. It was quite, obviously, because there was no NPC in it. It was just player on player, which is obviously rare within D&D. So, Mr. Neil, how responsible for the death of Hanash do you feel, being that you were a willing participant in the mass murder of half the citizens of the village in the poisoning? Do you feel that was a contributing factor towards Hanash's bloodlust and insanity?
Yeah, I don't know. I, as Chris Neil, I feel very responsible for all sorts of death. No, don't quote me. Oh my God, no, I'm being cancelled. Yeah, a little bit. I think like Tati's whole thing with like his past trauma with Skarl and being manipulated into killing a bunch of people. Like it has, like it's kind of in his head. The reason why he's so like emotionally out of his depth at the minute is because it's happened again. He got, like, this time he just got a little drunk at a time when he thought he could just, you know, have a little rest and not think about everything for like a day or a night. And that coincided with Hanash being influenced by Jerry to introduce poison into the punch bowl. And I think when, because Tati was really, really drunk as well, and he helped him do that. So I think when he woke up, wasn't even the next day, it was probably like an hour later or something like that, there was the point where I started to think, okay, maybe Tati, like actual Tati, sober Tati will kick in, was the point where he started running around with his Morningstar and killing people that way. Because before that, I was like, okay, we can, you know, this will take a little bit of work to smooth this out. It's going to be quite traumatic for Tati anyway. But once that started to happen, that was why he kind of like, rather than going straight to attacking Hunash, he was like, okay, maybe I can get in touch with Jerry and get him to help me out. Maybe just like knock him out or something like that. But then Hunash just didn't stop and Jerry wasn't super helpful. So he does feel responsible, but he also feels responsible for the deaths of all those people at the wedding.
One interesting thing I wanted to think, I don't know whether Matt or Mr. Neil, you've had a chance to listen to Chris Ragg's one-on-one interview he did a few weeks before Hanash's death, or maybe even a week before, but it's very prescient in, and I don't even remember if you remember Mr. Ragg sharing this, because I was like, what's one thing the listeners would find surprising about Hanash? And you said he craves intimacy and friendship, and he always loses all his friends because he overdoes it. He's always pranking people and overdoing it and turning the energy up. And that hit hard. Like, the timing of that and what happened afterwards. I was like, what's your reflection on that, Mr. Ragg? Was that a prophecy come true?
I totally forgot about that. And at the time, I totally forgot about that when I was killing all those people.
just drop that in there. When I was killing loads of people. Light spot of massacre.
I think it kind of maybe checks out. Like, I think Hanash has been like increasingly like a bit of a dick to Velsiar as well. So I think it's hilarious that Velsiar's the one to get him. Yeah. Maybe if I didn't like nail him into a coffin, he wouldn't have done this.
That's the final straw.
Oh god, yeah.
It's kind of like their relationship was always very like, there was always a lot of pranks. So I feel like it kind of went like, whatever, like some other stupid shit happened, and then Hanash nailed Belziar into a coffin, and then Hanash killed Belziar's potential lover along with the dozens of other people at a wedding, and Belziar was like, that's not a prank.
Well, he didn't kill him, but he did kill the mood.
I think as well, like, Hanash looked at Belziar like a brother. I think they were like almost like a sibling rivalry there.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
I think that's like the beauty of rolling dice and coming up with shit literally seconds before you say it, but somehow it always works out.
Yeah, I guess going off the back of that one, Matt, how is Belsiar doing? Do you think he still remembers Hanash as the guy who was with him as they quote unquote ruined a child's birthday party? Or do you think he remembers him as the one who tried to kill your potential lover in the crux of a series of escalating pranks?
Are we talking about Al Ghurandi here?
No. I'm talking about the youth pastor guy.
It's not his lover.
I said potential lover.
I always get shit off people for trying to make the NPCs fuck you, right? I get endless shit where I'm like, is this encounter purely platonic or sexual, right? At no point have I ever vibed that Amos Hawthorne, I think his name is, wants to fuck Belsiar. Is that how you feel, Belsiar? Have you got, like, are you getting signals off Amos?
I assumed that was being set up.
I love this. It's not what I had in mind at all.
Belsiar was trying to get his swerve on as well, wasn't he? Like, wasn't Belsiar being the forward on that? He wasn't, like, waiting for the person to come to him.
He was doing stuff with, like, the band.
Yeah, that's why he was doing karaoke. Like,
Belsiar was feeling himself. He was in his groove.
Belsiar was not feeling himself.
That's madness. I was not picking up what you were putting down. Belsiar, I thought you were just acting out from your crippling daddy issues. You know, like always needing attention.
No, that's older men That's older dragon and
yeah,
or
daddy issues is
man.
Older man.
This I imagined him as a hunky young youth pastor, right? Non-threatening.
Yeah. With the good hair.
Yeah.
Looks a bit like Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah. Like hunky dork.
Daddy issues would be more like Uncle Ben.
Think, dear God. What, the man who made the rice? Or Spider-Man's uncle?
No. Let's go with it. Yes, Uncle Ben, the guy who made the rice.
Okay, good.
Quote from AJ Jackson, the guy who made the rice.
Well, no, I'm not the first person to do that. That's been done many times. I'm not taking any credit for that. Yeah, well, in my mind, Amos Hawthorne, not that we're getting far away from Hanash and his untimely death, but Amos Hawthorne looks like the Wish version of Ryan Gosling. That's the level of, like, you know, Photoshop beauty that we're talking about.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I perhaps didn't find a way of articulating that in stream.
While we're on the topic, I do really enjoy when you, from the NPCs, like, I'm not interested sexually. I'm just a mechanic. I'm not going to fuck you.
That is the really funny thing that AJ will do. To take this another step off the rails, it's like every character in conversation will be like, we will be having a completely normal conversation. It's probably contributed somewhat to Tati's absolute sexlessness. It's just the fact that we will be having a normal conversation, like the conversation with the woman who owned the tiki bar.
Oh, yeah.
In Nicodranas. And I was like, hey, I want to strike up a conversation with this person and try to get them to sell this bar. And then you as her were like, you got to wine me, dine me, everything short of 69 in me to make a deal out of this. By the way, this is this completely platonic or is this sexual? And I was like, you're the one that made it.
Wait, again. And I will.
Don't then ask me.
Keep me honest, listeners. Listeners, write in. If I'm talking shit, write in, please. I don't remember making Tooks overly sexualized. And I have done, and I'm 100% guilty of it. My favorite version of that was when Belciar walked into an artisanal cheese shop, and there was definitely some magic between you and the lady in there. And she 100% air-quoted, like, I'm getting mixed signals, or is this purely business and transactional, or... Maybe am I getting some sexual vibes?
I saw that again as just basically the same thing. Just another character who was there for a simple interaction, and AJ was like, "Can I fuck you?"
It's almost like really preemptive, like consent. Like, do you consent?
Yeah,
consent is important.
Really big on consent. Really down on ambiguity in every situation.
Yeah, it's like consent, but like taking it to the nth degree. And like, you walk up to someone and talk to them for the first time and just be like, not even saying hello, just being like, by the way, I'm not up for sex right now. No, I'm not about that. I you're not unattractive. I just don't want to fuck you. And then being like, hi, by the way, my name is Tati Bojangles. I don't know, maybe I'll try it.
But it's like, hey, by the way, I don't want to fuck you. And also, would you like to buy any of my armor?
I'm going to bring this all the way back around now, listeners and my dear fellow compatriots, because the best version of that was in The Village. And I don't remember if you're, this is a Hanash moment here, when you went to buy the Lady Luck boat, which you fucking abandoned, off Marjorie and Roger Squeals in the village of Little Tithington. And Hanash went to there's only one shop in that village, and it was run by a really kind of like interesting guy called Gatsby. And before I could reach the end of the fucking episode, Hanash had agreed to meet Gatsby that evening for drinks and a massage.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole bit in the storyline where Hanash just steps out for an episode, I think, and comes back having had a massage. from a shopkeeper for no reason.
Let's get slippery.
That's the expression. You got slippery with him.
Let's get slippery.
Panache's sex drive and sexuality, the only way I can describe it is Geralt of Rivia.
He's a dog.
he's a dog. Just if anyone comes up to him and is like, you wanna? He'd be like, yeah, I had a thing that I was supposed to go do. But yeah, sure, let's fuck. All right, I've got a question for everybody. What is your favorite Hanash moment?
I mean, off the cuff, one of my favorite Hanash moments has to be one of the first moments. If it's not the first episode of the current podcast, it's somewhere near or just before, where Hanash tries to blunderbuss off the door of the cathedral where Mellifluent's bells crack is and just blows himself away and ends up with a spike sticking out of his head. And that is just an ongoing joke. There's a bit where Hanash is trying to fight an orc chieftain on a clifftop. You're all like over a riverbed fighting down below, and Hanash tries to like do the coup de grace and kill the orc chieftain and rolls a natural one on his blunderbuss and just blows himself backwards off a cliff, like into the river. And even in the final fight, you draw out your blunderbuss, don't you, Hanash? And you roll low and it discharges into the ceiling or something like that and plaster rains down.
Yeah.
It's the most Hanash thing to me, is you couldn't fire a weapon to save your life.
He had a pistol when he was in the police force, but for some reason, like these two-handed guns, you just can't get along with.
It's true, actually. Yeah, he's never used a pistol since retiring from the police force. It's a good point.
This is the thing, like all of the incidents are like kind of hazily remembered, but I think there's something with a fish in a hotel room in the bridal, that was the bridal suite, I think.
Sure was.
I don't know what happened to that fish, but there was a fish involved.
It was at the Busty Barnacle, and you were all staying, one of the first times you stayed there, and then Hanash noted that there was a bridal suite, and he decided to pay the extra few gold, and there was a coin-operated vibrating bed shaped like a heart.
Yes.
And I don't know how you'd got the fish, but you took the fish with you, and it culminated in you... Well, they were picking bits of fishbone out of the bed, because Civic Cloaca mentioned it year later. But there was a bit where didn't you end up accidentally setting fire to the floor using a tilly lamp or something like that, and you have to piss on it to put it out.
Something like that. I can't remember if it's like the oil of the fish or something. I can't remember what.
The most flammable fish ever. I do remember that, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a very Hanash moment.
I'll do two ones because two Hanash ones, because one has already been said, but I think it is very Hanash. I think it is what AJ said where he blunderbussed himself off a cliff. It's all. I think that is classic, classic Hanash, and was hilarious.
It's such a Hanash moment to be like, surprise, motherfucker, and then just to knock yourself off the cliff when you fire at them.
I don't have the best, like, imagination, but that was so clear in my head. It's like a Bugs Bunny, like, and then there's, like, moves, like, perfectly level, and then there's instantly drops off the cliff.
I've got my Hanash moment. Sorry to jump in if anyone else has got one. It is what was, listeners, episode one of the podcast, which was such poor quality, I got rid of it in the end, where the adventuring party go to track down Theolian in a tabaxi village in the middle of the woods, and the tabaxi are in a treetop, a bunch of treetop houses. Hanash, this is like early Hanash, he kills a tabaxi warrior, rips off his legs, and wears him as a cardigan. So you have half a tabaxi and you put the arms over your shoulders and like link them together.
Gosh.
And then you just wander around killing other tabaxi wearing a tabaxi as a cardigan. That for me is peak Hanash.
Is that the first instance of like one of us wearing another's skin as a costume?
So is that the Belshire you wore one woman's skin as a vampire. Did anyone else wear anything else?
I'm sure there's at least four or five examples of...
Roll the tape! Let's hear it. It's a fucking clip show.
Maud kills one of Skarl's minions and she skins his face and wears it and scares the living shit out of people. Speaking of which, we need to get Chanel back on this podcast. Chanel lost her personal laptop and hasn't been able to be part of this podcast for some time now, but she does want to come back. We're ripping it up in Thailand currently. Not in a sexy way.
There you go again. We're not having sex with Thailand. It's a platonic.
Just to be clear.
Just the country.
Just the whole country. Just the tip of Thailand.
Look, I simply don't have the time. Look, I just don't have the annual leave to fuck Thailand. Okay?
I want to give you all the time you deserve. Each of you can have a 3-second finger bang.
Ugh. I can't just go on a sabbatical to fuck Thailand.
If Chris Neal ever had a Netflix special, it would be called I Can't Just Go on Sabbatical to Fuck the
And then it's like 3 months later, there's finger banging like all of Thailand.
All of Thailand in one. Listeners, if you thought that we were going to discuss anything else other than fucking a country during Hanash's eulogy, then you were wrong.
Mr. Neil, wasn't there a very special message left by a certain someone in Hanash's life? Didn't a certain goblin call in and leave a pre-recorded message?
Well, here's the thing. Canonically, we don't know if at the point where Hanash dies, if Stitch is even still alive, because he's quite an old man. I think just for the sake of the voice being hilarious, I could give a quick whirl to an improvised eulogy from Stitch Willowtip. I don't know if I can do it while I'm stood up, though, because I have to feel low to the ground as Stitch, and I have to do the old man waddle before I do anything.
Name of your sex tape.
Thank you. Yeah, all right. Let's fucking go. Well, my giant green friend, Hanash Smith, is dead. What can a man possibly say about the death of his best friend, his partner, the sun to his moon at the moment of his death? Hanash and I worked together as detectives for the Nutbush Police Force until I was forcibly retired from said police force. Upon retirement, Hanash was of no help to me whatsoever as a friend. He would never check in emotionally, physically, but sometimes,
sexually.
Sometimes he would platonically. Sometimes he would do incredibly violent things and ask me to get involved quite forcibly, which, if I'm honest, was some of the most fun moments of my life. Wherever you are, Big Green, I hope it's filled with violence and opportunities for you to eat and fuck your way throughout the world until there's nothing left. And then Stitch does the, like, kisses two fingers and puts them up. Like he's some kind of, like, aging gangster. Waddles over to the very meager buffet that's on display at this funeral. Pick up a couple of things and then just wander out the door aimlessly.
That was a thing of beauty. You nearly brought a tear to my eye. the end of an era. It was 4 years. I mean, we started doing this in lockdown, didn't we? And we're coming up to the fourth anniversary if we haven't already hit the anniversary of lockdown. So Hanash was in your sort of weekly routine for 4 years, which, when you put it that way, yes. Anyone who was in your life or lived rent-free in your head for 4 years, if they suddenly walked out of your life, would leave a hole. And not in a sexy way.
We're not having sex with the memory of Hanash. I want to make that absolutely clear.
Oh, come on.
AJ, A, none of us are going to have sex with the memory of Hanash. B, none of us are going to have sex with you. Okay.
Hang on. I've seen a gap.
Purely platonic.
Can some of us have sex with the reality of Hanash?
this where we just turn into a sexy podcast where it's just...
We've been a sexy podcast from the beginning.
That's true.
Do you know, from the first moment we had a podcast, I toggled the... There's always a question at the bottom when you upload every episode. It says, is this episode explicit?
This is sexy.
And I'm like, I don't even have to think about it. I'm like, yeah, somebody will have made some
not
reference.
Explicit. Is this podcast? And it even has like a little emoji next to it when it says it. So it's like, is this podcast sexy?
One of my happy thoughts is always the belief that we've been a gateway. As a podcast, we must have been a gateway for at least one individual to learn the English language. And someone somewhere, in the same way that the Police Academy films taught many people to speak English in the 80s and 90s, someone somewhere, and I hope maybe in Cambodia or I don't know where, is learning the English language episode by episode with us, and they're constantly Googling like phallus or cloaca and putting it into like Duolingo.
Felchwater, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Cambodian just typing in Felchwater into Duolingo.
I feel really bad for whatever, you know, like failed state or broken education system has to use us as an example yes. of the English language.
They use the word cloaca so much in the UK.
It must be the linchpin of the UK society.
So someone visits London for the first time, they go to a shop and they're like...
Where are the cloacas?
What a cloaca, am I right?
I imagine this person turns up at Heathrow with their passport and just goes up to the desk. And about halfway through their interview, where he's like, why are you here, sir? He just looks really confused and just looks at the TSA and just goes, is this sexual or transactional?
Quick shout out to Catman Jones, who, if you type in Felchwater, is the sixth result.
Is he? What's he got to say for himself?
Yeah. What?
On Twitter.
Felchwater.
Pour a nice glass of room temperature Felchwater.
AJ, you got to send that. It'll be so chuffed.
Just above the city of Martinez's water treatment operator on LinkedIn, who is called Evan Felch.
Oh my god.
Evan Felch.
Someone's stolen our idea. Ah, Catman Jones. Yes, indeed. Catman Jones comes up if you talk about Felchwater.
So for me, it's if you Google it, his is the sixth one down, and then the seventh is a TikTok link where the account is at Felchwater.
I saw that.
And
yep.
The video is called See You Space Cowboy. And then number eight is us.
Matt.
On Twitter.
Yeah. Matt Duran is right. There's just a guy called Evan on LinkedIn. He's just called Evan Felch - water treatment operator. Fucking hell. I hope we've changed the world.
If you're listening, Evan, get in touch.
He's going to get so many views tonight. Just so many weird profile views. And he's going to be like, who the fuck are these people looking at my profile?
There's also there's also a Japanese website that just says, if you keep going down under Filchwater, there's a Japanese website that says male children assist their fathers mainly by doing cattle dip management. There is less gender bias for male children to Filchwater than male adults.
Oh, right. I see what's happened here. It says fetch water. Right. I assume that's meant to say fetch
water. That's a typo in Japanese where they put Filchwater instead of
fetch. That's a pretty important typo. Yes, as usual, listeners, we've reached the portion of our podcast where we just review Google search results for crazy things related to our podcast.
Whoever brought this up in the production meeting,
great job. Who put my regretful journey to Europe, how it all started, and then talks about how someone asked him to Filchwater. I think he meant fetch as well. My regretful journey to Europe. This is the person who listened to our podcast and turned up offering to Filchwater. Right. That's it. I'm done.
I think, listeners, that will do it for us. We have successfully eulogized our dear friend, brother, ward of the state, Hanash Smith, and sent him into the lands beyond, wherever we believe that is. Does anyone have any closing words before we wrap this one up?
I just want to reiterate, this is a non-sexual funeral. That we don't want to. This is not one of those funerals.
This isn't that scene in Wedding Crashers where Owen Wilson and Will Ferrell go and crash a funeral.
It would be a very Hanash thing to do. I think Mr. Rag should have the last word.
Thank you all for your kind words. Thank you, listeners, for joining Hanash. Thank you for all your tears, listeners. I imagine that you all like cried when Hanash died.
Dungeon Daddy out. It's been an honor and a pleasure, Mr. Rag. And I think I first created Hanash myself, didn't I? I gave you the character as part of a one-shot, and I knew he was something special, and you've done an absolute sterling job bringing the mischief with him for 4 years. So, yeah, I think this has been a fitting goodbye to a character that has lived rent-free in my head for 4 years and brought me many giggles. So thank you very much.
Heading over to the sunny but still cold lands of Finland, we'll hear from Mr. Matthew Jacob Durant.
He was one of the best fighter pilots in the galaxy, and he was a good friend.
Wow. I didn't expect A, the quote from Obi-Wan Kenobi, but also B, just a great Alec Guinness impression. Just fantastic. And listeners, it's a goodbye from me. I've been Chris Neal, your host for the evening. And hopefully the next time we have a character funeral, someone else will host. Because it would be really random and weird if I just became the MC of all funerals.
I'm here for that.
Especially if I have to MC my own funeral. That'd be wild. Anyway, listeners, you know what we're going to say. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
We put 50 quid behind the bar, and when the cheese sandwiches runs out, piss off.
Yeah, 50 quid's worth of cheese sandwiches and whiskey sours, and we're going to get fucked up. So, you got to go. Yeah. Well,
Let's do it. Count us in.
All right. On my count, ladies and gentlemen. 3, 2, 1.
Stay.
Hanashi.
Stay Hanash.
Stay Hanash.
Stay dead, please. Just from a narrative point of view, it'll make my life much easier.
We fucked it up.
We did.
So we'll fix it in post.
Yeah, AJ, fix it in post.
What, Hanush's death?